I have never done this in all my years of pastoring. Once I started a series, I just continued the series. Last week, I started a series called Loving Better. And I felt the Lord really leading, and I talked to a couple of the other pastors about it. They thought it would be timely. And after last week, and as this week progressed, a number of things occurred. And as I prayed and I prayed and I prayed, I just felt the Lord, actually this morning, very early, when I rise, I just felt, you know, Lord, I think you want me to do something different. And so I spent some time praying about it, quite a bit of time. And sure enough, I just really felt the Lord would want me to start a series tonight entitled Soul Prescription, the Psalms. And I wrote this and sent this out if you're on our house church list or you want to get our Rock email. I believe there are many feeling weary and in need of hope, strength, encouragement, and renewed perspective. The definition of prescription is a prescribed remedy. Our weary, hurting souls need the remedy the Psalms provide. And so tonight what I'm going to do is just begin going through one psalm. Next week we'll go through another, and then the following week we'll go through another. But I can tell you that over the 42 years of my Christian experience of following Christ, through all the tribulations and all the difficulties of my life, all the difficulties of the loved ones in my life, all the people that I'm responsible for and their difficulties, all the challenges, and they have been many and they have been great. The Psalms has been such a source of comfort and strength and healing to my soul. Just like the body, sometimes, you know, you get an illness, you get an infection. I remember one time I was in Honduras doing some mission work. It was after Hurricane Mitch. And I'd been there about 2 weeks. Everything was going fine. And the last day, without knowing it, somebody gave me bad water. Looked clean. Looked just as good as any other water. It was bad water. On the ride home on the plane, I thought I was going to die. It was a little bit embarrassing. I'm bending over, holding my stomach, moaning, groaning, having to go sit back in the bathroom for a long time. I could barely walk down the tarmac. And for the next 3 weeks, I was really sick until finally someone diagnosed it right, and I got a little thing they need to give you. And about a week later, I was better. Don't you wish sometimes? You wish sometimes there was something like that for your soul? I'll be honest with you. I've been through physical pain. Nothing hurts like emotional pain. Nothing hurts like when your soul is battered, bruised, you're confused, you've been betrayed, you're hurt. You don't understand why the things going on in your life are going on. And so tonight, we're going to look at Psalm 34. Psalm 34, I'm going to give you a little background before I read it, because the background kind of makes all the difference with this psalm. Psalm 34 was written by King David. David was not yet a king. David has just saved King Saul and all of the Israelites from the Philistines. As a 16-year-old shepherd boy, walking out to the field of battle to see how his brothers were, the giant was coming out and defying the Israelites. All the Israelites were cowering. We're talking about 100,000 soldiers. They were running for their lives. Saul was cowering. Their knees were shaking. And David said, I'll go. David went. He killed Goliath. Saul was so moved, he brought him into the palace. David was a musician. Saul had a troubled spirit. David would sing to him. And time after time after time, David would go out on campaigns for Saul and save the day. And time after time, he literally saved Saul's kingdom. He was just a young man, probably 18 by now. Saul's son Jonathan, who was the prince of Israel, really became very close to David. He was bound in heart and soul to the kind of faith that he saw in this young man. And he recognized God's hand was on David. One day when they're coming back from battle, The ladies were singing a song. It always gets you in trouble when the ladies start singing songs about you. And their song was, Saul has killed his thousands, but David his 10,000s. And Saul heard it and said it in his heart, oh my gosh, they attribute him more than me, the gall of these people. What's next? He'll take my kingdom. And from that day on, his jealousy took a foothold. And he began to despise this young man who he worshiped with, who sang to him when he was troubled, who saved his kingdom, and his love turned to hate. Boy, sometimes things happen, you know, in situations, relationships, and you're like, what just occurred? How in the world? Boy, the devil loves to work, doesn't he? So all of a sudden, one day David's playing, and Saul takes his spear and throws it at David, tries to kill him. He dodges it. David comes back, sings some more. Saul does it again. David runs for his life for a while. He comes back. Saul entices him back, says, hey, get this. I want you to marry my daughter. I'm going to make you my son-in-law. And David is like, I don't deserve that. No, David, I want you to marry my daughter. So he marries Saul's daughter. He thought he would entrap David. The problem was she really loved him. She was scared, though. She loved him, but she was scared. And the next thing you know, Saul sends men to his own daughter's home to kill her husband. David's probably 20 now. He runs for his life. She deceives her father because she loves David, but she made up a lie and said the reason I did it is because he threatened to kill me if I didn't, hide him and let him go. David is now out in the field. Jonathan comes and finds him. Jonathan is incensed by what his father's doing. He sees what his father's doing. He confronts his own father. His father calls him the son of a whore. Because he says, what has this man done to you? He saved you. He helped you. What has he done? And Saul tries to make him jealous. Says, do you not realize he's going to take the kingdom that's rightfully yours? Jonathan was a righteous man. He did not care. He knew that God's hand was on David. So he goes out, he finds David, and he says, David, look, I know things are tough, but I'm sure my dad's not going to kill you. He says, Jonathan, he's going to kill me. He said, David, I'm going to go find out if he's going to kill you. And David says, okay, here's our plan. So I'm supposed to be at the New Moon Festival. I'm supposed to sit with the king. If I don't go, just tell him that I'm sacrificing with my relatives. I wanted to go back and see my family. Jonathan said, okay. And David said, all right, now listen. If he says to you, oh, okay, that's okay, then that will be a sign that he's not going to kill me. But if he flies into a rage, that means he really is going to kill me, and you'll see it, and I need you to come and warn me so that I can get away. And they made a pact together. Sure enough, Saul on the second day flew into a rage. And Jonathan once again confronted his father in front of his army captains and said, what is up with you, Dad? What's wrong with you? This man saved your kingdom. He's tried to help you. He's gone out of his way for you. And Saul called him names, and Jonathan left, it says, in a fury. And he went to David, and he warned him. David's now literally fleeing for his life, and he goes to see Abiathar the priest. He eats some of the sacred bread with his men, and then he goes off to live among the Philistines, who he had been conquering for Saul. And while he's there, this is all happening all at once, David writes Psalm 34. That's the background. Listen to the psalm. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted and the humble hear it and be glad. Magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me and freed me from all of my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, their faces not put to shame. This poor man called on the Lord, and the Lord heard and saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who revere him, thank you, and rescues them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who trusts in him. Revere the Lord, for there is no lack to those who revere him. The young lions do need. They suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord will lack no good thing. Come, sons and daughters, listen to me, and I will teach you reverence for the Lord. Who is the man, the woman, desiring life, loving good days? They want to see good. Then do this. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from deceit and gossip. Turn away from evil and practice good. Seek peace and keep after it. For the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against the evildoers to root out their memory from the earth. The righteous cried and the Lord heard and saved them out of all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and rescues those whose spirit is crushed. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but out of them all, the Lord delivers him. He protects every bone. Not one of them is broken. Calamity will slay the wicked, and the haters of the righteous will be penalized. But the Lord redeems the soul of his servant. All those taking refuge in him will go free. This is a really profound psalm, and it's rich with tremendous truth, perspective, comfort, and important instruction for our soul. When we find in the first verse, this morning as I was reading, this morning I was up with the moon. You may not know this right now, but there's a full moon. It's like a big indigo light shining in the sky. So I get up very early in the morning. This morning, I believe it was about 3:45, and I put my garage door up. I love the cool air. I love the cool air. Let it be cold, cool, wonderful. I like that. If you walked in here tonight, it was cold. It's because I asked to please turn the AC on. Because you have a lot of body heat, right? We put off heat. And as the garage door opened, there was the moon. I had a lot of things in my mind. There was a lot of things to pray about this morning. And as I looked up at the moon, I was reminded of Psalm 89. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing. With my mouth, I will make known your faithfulness to all generations. Then you go through the psalm, and about verse, 18, 19, it says this. And the moon in the sky is my faithful witness that I will never remove my loving kindness from David or his descendants. The moon is the faithful witness of God. It is not going to disappear. It is a reminder that God's promise to the people of faith, that's what he means. We are David's descendants because of our faith in Christ. He will never, ever, ever remove his loving kindness from us. So this morning I began my prayer time as I walk round and round and round and round. Kind of like a wolf howling at the moon. Lord, thank you for your power. Thank you for your power. By your words, you made what I see. By the breath of your mouth, you spoke it into being. And there is nothing too difficult for you. Later on in the day, I was out in another spot where I went to pray some more and review this text. And I read it when I'm with the Lord. I read this just like I read it to you. See, it's one of the things that'll make the word make more power in your life. Read it with emotion. Read it with feeling, as the psalmist wrote it, with feeling. And I was looking around at the lake that I was by, and the sky, and the sun, and the trees. And in that moment, there was no Hurricane Irma. There is no little North Korean crazy nut. All of his loud stupidity, there is nothing there. Just God's power. I mean, the sky, man, and beyond the sky, galaxy, 100 million galaxies, beyond. And I thought to myself, Lord, I know, don't take this wrong. I really care about the people there. It's why I went down Honduras after Mitch. I understand the devastation. But I'm trying to give you perspective for a moment. Real perspective about our God and our Heavenly Father. Have you ever been out in the country when the winds come and it's kind of dusty, hot, and there's those little mini tornadoes, but they're way down on the ground like you can step on them, and you see them just swirling? That's what Irma is to God. God is so much bigger. Here's what I found. Here's why this is important. Here's why David did this. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. My soul will find confidence. That would mean boast. Will find its confidence in the Lord. My confidence isn't because the people love me. The same people who love you today will kill you tomorrow. Do not understand that. This man, Saul, most powerful man in the nation, loved David. He ought to have loved David. And then he turned on David. David's confidence was in the Lord. But he was learning. He was a young man. This is just huge in his life. And I have found this. When the praise of God isn't on my mouth, on my mind, when I'm not focused on God, I'm cursing my circumstances. I'm cursing my circumstances. When my mind isn't caught up with God, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. What does he mean, magnify? Well, the simple definition of magnify is to make bigger. You can't make God bigger, so what's he mean? He means in your own mind's eye, in your heart, in your soul, make God more prominent. Let him be enlarged and let your problems come into perspective. It's not always easy to do. That's why I gave you the background of David. It's easy sometimes, isn't it, to read these passages in the Bible, and we get our little, you know, academic, intelligent brain out, and we go, that's such beautiful words. David had to live this stuff. He was horrified what David was going through. Well, look what he says. I sought the Lord, and he answered me and freed me from all my fears. Wow, there's a lot of fears, isn't there? I mean, I understand fears. I realize right now there's a whole lot of people going back to the little nutcase in North Korea. I mean, he might push the button. I mean, he might attack Guam. Who knows? If you don't know your history, maybe you ought to know your history. Everyone tried to appease Hitler. No one thought Hitler was going to do what he did. And within a year, he was all over Europe, slaughtering and killing millions of people. The world could change tomorrow. The Houstonians found out the world changed in a matter of hours. It's real life. Some of you have had your life changed in just a moment. Today, Montgomery Gentry, famous country band, Gentry died. 50 years old, boom. Helicopter was in, you know, probably just going on a ride. Bam, down, he's dead. A lot of things to be afraid of. Every day that little thing you're carrying in your pocket, it's binging you. Bing, 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 update, notification, the world. That little box is scaring the heck out of you. You got so much stuff coming at you. This is going on. Oh, they said this. Oh, this politician is this. Oh, this happened over here. Oh, there's an earthquake in Mexico. Oh my gosh, the world's going apart. And then there's your life. You know, and then there's your stuff, right? And then there's your stuff. So what's the solution, man? Quit living? You know, just God, get me away from it all. It's God. It's God. He's in the moment of our lives, and he can free us from our fears. But let me give you first the most significant thing that you'll do in your life and that you'll need to do over and over and over and over again. There is no more important habit in my life in 42 years than this word. I sought the Lord. Are you a person who seeks God? Do you seek God? Do you go after? The word means to go after. Look it up. I love looking up these words. Today I was just sitting on my computer entering words. Magnify, exalt, sought. Archaic means to seek. Great. What's to seek? Go after. Go after. If there's any difference between me or anybody that you know, I'm not better looking. That's pretty obvious. I'm not smarter. That's real obvious. I'm not more talented. That's also obvious. What isn't obvious is what Mark Darling's been doing in private for 42 and a half years. I seek God. I desperately need God. I need him to give me wisdom. I need him to give me strength. I need to give him help, because how many times have I wanted to quit? How many times has fear just wrapped itself around me and I wanted to stop? Well, this week was one of those times. And no matter how I feel, this is the truth, no matter how I feel, I go seek God. And I cry, like we'll get to in a moment. But then look what happens. When we seek the Lord, when we keep seeking the Lord, he answers. See, he answers. And I see God answer thousands of times in my life. Not a few, thousands of times. First you seek, then you get answers. You seek, then you get answers. And then you're in another scary situation. You seek some more. Brother and sister, please don't lose heart. Please, 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 don't lose heart. I know some of you, you're weary, and what you want, and I get it, is just stop the pain, Lord, or stop what's causing the pain, Lord. Change my circumstances. I get that. Don't ever stop asking. But in the meantime, remember, he's the God in the moment while you're in those circumstances, and he can free you from your fears and fill you with an enlarged perspective and a confidence of who he is. And here's what happens. They looked to him and were radiant. Their faces were not put to shame. I have watched this firsthand in my wife's life. I have watched it with her health since 1977. 1977, that's 40 years. Her health has been bad since we were in a really bad accident. And what happened to her can't be fixed. I watch her every day get up when she, to be honest, doesn't want to get out of bed because she only got about a couple hours sleep. And that's been happening for years. I watched her with chronic fatigue syndrome when she was one of the first diagnosed cases in the country to have it when we first moved her to plant churches. And she could basically function between 9 in the morning and about 6 in the evening and felt like she was going to die. I watched it when she took care of our sick daughter. I watched it as we raised children. I watched it. And I watched this, the radiance that came in her life that most people would not have known that was going on because she kept looking to God. But I can tell you something else about Kathy. There's two things that she and I do that were the same. We're the same. We seek the Lord, the two of us. We seek the Lord. She seeks the Lord in her way. It's very similar to mine, and I seek the Lord mine. And every day, that girl's in this book, thinking about God, thinking, writing verses down, writing about her Savior. And I can tell you right now, if she hadn't, just living with me alone would make you go crazy. But when you had the other circumstances on top, you just lose it. This poor man called, and the Lord heard and saved him out of all of his troubles. God will save us out of our troubles. He will. Sometimes it takes time. I was sharing this the other night at my little Hebrew study on Wednesday nights. You know, we think about the story of Abraham and Sarah, right? God comes. He's old. He's about 100. She's about 75. And God says, you're going to have a child. She laughed. You're crazy. Are you out of your mind? Do you know what kind of faith it would take? I don't want to get, well, we don't have kids tonight. That's good. You know what kind of faith it takes to make love when you're impotent and your wife's already past menopause and God says, hey, you're going to have a baby? And it wasn't an immaculate conception. Guess what, folks? You ever talk to an infertile couple who's struggling to have a child? 25 years it took before Sarah had a child. It took so long that Sarah said, hey, Abraham, yeah, this ain't working. You got to sleep with Hagar. What? My servant. You got to try her. This ain't working. Man, he really messed up. How long are you willing to wait? how long you're willing to keep seeking the Lord. He won't let you down. And in the meantime, he will give you strength. He will give you strength. He cares. Well, let me show you. We got to keep going. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who revere him, and he rescues us. Oh, taste and see the Lord is good. Blessed is the man or woman who trusts in him. I have tried it with people. I have friends, people who I've just met, sometimes with tears, to convince them, please, taste the Lord. Please, you have nothing to lose to accept Jesus and everything to gain. Just taste the Lord and see that he is good. Some of my dear friends here tonight from Teen Challenge Leadership Program, they're overcoming alcohol and addiction, and I'm so proud of them. And I can tell you right now, everyone will tell you tonight, Tony's sitting there, Tony's so precious to me. Oh my God, are you glad you tasted to see the Lord was good? Aren't you glad? Oh my gosh, the Lord is good. The Lord is good. And as you walk with the Lord, you begin to realize he's better than the drugs. He's better than the alcohol. He's better than the craziness. He's better. Sometimes, I know all of us, it doesn't feel like that anymore. My life feels so painful, Lord. Revere the Lord, you his saints, for there is no lack to those who fear him. The young lions do need and suffer hunger. Those who seek the Lord will lack in nothing. Listen, I remember as a young father, young man, first 10 years of my married life with children, 10 years, I grossed $91,000. The first 3 or 4 years of my marriage, I was making $3,400, $4,000 gross a year. The poverty level at that time was $14,000 a year. I had no insurance with our first 3 children. Psalm 34 was my go-to psalm. God, I am going to seek you. I am not going to sell my birthright for a pot of porridge. I'm not going to go on the road to do this over here. I had got an offer. I talked to my mom. I'll never forget this. I got an offer to get a company car, to make $40,000 a year, to travel on the road, but I have to be gone 5 nights a week for my family. I called my mother. I said, Mom, this is my situation. She said to me, she started up very emotional. She said, Mark, I love you very much. I thank God for what he's doing in your heart. I dedicated you to the Lord when you were a baby. I've been praying all your life that you would follow God's ways. But let me tell you this. Your father, who I love, my dad's gone, left the family, left my mom. She said, Mark, I loved your dad, but the big mistake dad made was he started traveling away from the family, away from the body of Christ, 4 to 5 nights a week, and in time, his whole relationship with the Lord fell apart. Because, Mark, you need fellowship. Mark, don't. I didn't. I lived in a trailer that cost $73 a month to live in. That's part of how we survived. Someone gave it to me. 540 square feet for 5 people. I still believed living in that situation, oh, taste and see, the Lord is good. That the young lions, the strong young lions, they lack, they suffer hunger, but I will not lack. God is going to come through. Now, here I am. All my kids went to college. All my kids are married, and they're growing. They're learning. Gee whiz. God kept his word. He'll keep his word to you. Come, sons and daughters, listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. We're going to finish up here. If you desire life, a good life, and you love days, and you want to see good days, this is important. Watch your mouth. Keep your mouth from saying evil things about others. Keep your mouth, another version says, from gossip and misrepresentations of truth. Keep your lips from being deceitful, and turn away from evil and practice what is good. And seek peace and keep after it. Seek peace with others. Try to be a peacemaker. This is something I always strive to do, whether it's with family. I could tell you so many stories. The reason my stories is to let you know that God works in real life. The Word works in real life. And Mark Garling didn't get his education in an ivory tower. I got it in the arena of real life, where you had to do really tough stuff that involved your emotions and your heart and your soul, and you thought you were going to die. But God kept his word. We keep our eyes on the Lord. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous. See? Well, the righteous is the person who's seeking God, who's trying to honor God in life, to watch their mouth, to not speak evil, to not denigrate gossip about other people, to represent the truth accurately, and to turn away from evil things and do what's good. The righteous cried, and the Lord heard and saved them out of all their troubles. I love this. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and rescues those crushed in spirit. Have you ever felt that? So many times. I have a whole music CD. I wrote the whole music CD in pain. I sang those songs to myself in my living room, in my office, upstairs, downstairs, for almost 7 straight years. And my family could attest, and my daughter Jessica could attest. You can get that CD on strongdisciple.com. It's called Medicinal Spirit, and it's almost all psalms I put to music to soothe my soul, because I was so brokenhearted by some things that had gone on. Very painful. Many, many, you need to never forget this. This will help you as you look at your life. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but out of them all, the Lord delivers them. I have to end there. Never forget this. Don't let it discourage you. There are going to be many afflictions. There are going to be many difficulties. God will deliver you out of them all. Go after him. Seek him. Magnify, enlarge him the way he really is in your mind and in your heart. Praise him and thank him for what he's doing in your life. Pour out your heart to God. He will never, ever, ever, ever turn you out, plug his ears, or close his eyes, because you're the apple of his eye. Father, we thank you tonight for your goodness. We thank you, Lord, for your mercy. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you hear us. You hear us, and you care, and we matter to you. God, I just bless you today for your tender mercy. I bless you today, Lord, that those who seek you will never lack any good thing. If we need strength, you'll give it. If we need peace, you'll give it. Our circumstances may not immediately change, but in time, you deliver us and bring us to a different situation. I thank you, God, for your grace in every trouble and every trial. In Jesus' name, amen.